Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast. Glad to have you here with us, joining us for episode 102 of the pod. Hope you're having a fantastic morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you be, whenever you may be listening. I want to give you a quick reminder before we get into today's topic of the podcast of Star Wars collecting, that if you're not yet subscribed to Hoth Hangout on YouTube, check us out there for the video version of every podcast, as well as all of our reactions to the latest episodes of new Star Wars shows when they do go live. Shout out to the 459 of you who are subscribed over there. Additionally, you can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them here on the pod. Additionally, you can find the Hoth Hangout podcast wherever you get your podcasts, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much, and it does also allow it to be more easily discovered by other people that love Star Wars as well. We're on the socials as well, on Instagram, TikTok, and X at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms. Follow us there for the latest on each of those, and check out the link to the Hoth Hangout community Discord server down in the show notes of today's episode as well. And of course, because we are talking Star Wars collecting today, we want to pose the question to all of you listening. What sort of Star Wars items or memorabilia or just general collections do you have? What Star Wars do you collect? Let us know down in the comments of today's episode if you're watching the video version of the podcast or over on the socials. Before we get into our discussion about Star Wars collectibles, Joey, how you doing, man? I know this one is a big one for you. You're a big Star Wars collector.
Definitely a big one for me. I've been excited to put this one together, talk a little collecting. I know we took a unscheduled week off there. We had some life things come up, so on my side. But things are looking up, so the positive vibes would appreciate to continue on going through through the interwebs, if you will. So yeah, definitely you know, sometimes you just gotta take a breath and you know, kind of live life that, you know, and take in a lot of things, and it's brought some perspective in our lives. So but yeah, things are looking good. So just appreciate the kind words, Ben. You also sent me some kind messages, so I do appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to hear that. It seems like things are looking up a bit. And actually, last week in the interim where we didn't release an episode, my fiance and I, Mariah and I, had sat down to like do a reaction to The Last Jedi, and we got through like half of it. And it was like, this movie, you know, both of us were like, this movie is so long, it's already so late right now. So we did react to half of The Last Jedi.
Okay.
I'm, you know, if that ever goes out, you know, we have it there. We probably need to watch the second half too. But that's on a little bit of the back burner now, but maybe we'll get that out here sometime in the next couple weeks or so. But anyways, so that was something I did over the past week. Mariah has officially seen the first half. Okay. Of The Last Jedi. And
saying too much, what were the thoughts there?
There were some really fun reactions when Leia started floating in space. I'll just say that.
That's I think that was everybody's first reaction of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, that'll maybe be coming out soon. But again, we're talking all things Star Wars collectibles today. Both of us have a pretty decent collection, you probably having the far superior collection of the two of us.
Maybe.
Before we get into our talks, and actually at the end of today's episode, we'll be able to showcase a few of our own favorite items. We wanted to touch base on a couple of pieces of news from the world of Star Wars within the past week or so. Kind of 2 weeks, I guess, in the case of some of these. New York Comic Con was held recently. And when I say there was a little bit of news, there was a lot of bit of news. You and I were taking a look at the, I want to say Comic-Con was, I guess it was what, about 2 weeks ago now.
I think that was like 2 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah. And there was, in the article released on StarWars.com, I think, wasn't it about 20 or nearly 20?
I think it was like 17 in total.
Yeah, different. Know 17 different items that were listed in the article about things that were revealed or showcased at Comic-Con. Lots of fun things to note there, and so we'll quickly go through a few of these. And and also note some of our favorites too. Probably the headliner and kind of, well, like to start us off, I guess we'll start with this young adult novel, as you see here on the screen, if you're watching the video version of the podcast, this is the middle grade novel. Mm-hmm. It's called A Valiant Vow. It takes place in the High Republic timeline. And I want to say, I believe if I remember reading the article correctly, that this is part of the final phase of the High Republic, novels and series. Typically, whenever they come out with a phase, it's like there's always one middle grade novel, one young adult novel, and an adult novel. We're still a little bit unclear on what the adult novel is based mm-hmm. off this article, but we are getting this, you know, middle grade novel called A Valiant Vow that takes place in that High Republic era, as well as a young adult novel titled Into the Light, written by Claudia Gray, who I think has written, I want to say, like a third of the entire High Republic era.
She's got her stamp on a lot of that, I'm sure.
Definitely a recognizable name if you're someone who is into reading or at least knowledgeable in a little bit about the High Republic era. Lots of other fun things in this article too. The Vader's castle was another one. Some cool artwork and being showcased. This deluxe library collection. Called the High Republic Adventures Annual and Vader's Castle. And it'll basically take you inside some of these, you know, tales and these sketches and show works in progress for various individual issue covers. And so Vader's Castle coming soon as well, as released, as was announced at New York Comic Con. And even more stuff in here. I think some of the stuff that probably stood out to me the most, well, the headliner for the entire article, which, I mean, and you blame them, like, look at, if you're watching the video version of the podcast, you see what these you know, graphic novels look like for these hyperspace stories is what they're titled, and one of them is dedicated to General Grievous and the other one is dedicated to Mace Windu, and these graphic novel covers from Michael Cho, I believe is the artist, look really good.
Like
I don't really know what the context of these stories is about, but I don't, you know, looking at this cover, I would read it no matter what. Anything prequel era is kind of my jam, and that kind of is a good transition to noting maybe my favorite piece of the announcements. There's even more Qui-Gon adventures to be had, and this is actually, believe it or not, the first original graphic novel dedicated specifically to Qui-Gon Jinn. And it's really taking a look at two periods of his life, one when he was a Padawan to Dooku, and the other one later on in life once he had his own Padawan, a young Obi-Wan Kenobi. And so there's this talk of what within this graphic novel, it's like the Brotherhood of the Ninth Door is kind of the mysterious piece, which has some relation to phase two of the High Republic for those of you who are High Republic readers. But that was one thing that really stood out to me. And I think the other one, which is also kind of a prequel era nod, is the new Jedi Knights series, which the cover for this is Yoda. It looks really just detailed and nice and sleek. And I like the cover for this one probably arguably more than the Grievous and Windu covers. It's just like simple, but really, you know, it grabs your attention at the same time. And this series is a brand new series called, like I said, Jedi Knights. And it will explore the Jedi from the pre-prequel era, essentially. So taking place before the events of The Phantom Menace. And this is the cover art for the very first issue. So another issue of comics that I'm, or another new series of comics, I should say, that is, you know, looking really promising.
We need to go back to our Marvel Unlimited app and go look at some of this stuff, because we are way behind. I don't even remember the last. What was the last thing that we read? Was it the Kanan? It wasn't Kanan, or was it the High Republic? I think it was the High Republic.
I think Kanan was the first one we did, and then we read the High Republic more recently. But even that has been six, eight months.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm thinking too. So, I'm pretty excited for these. For these announcements, it's just one of those things. It's just, they just keep coming out with books and comics and things like the, you know, High Republic era books that that people are really gravitating to, which I'm excited for them for sure. But one thing I'm interested is in like the Acolyte, the story with Yord and, oh, remind me the name?
Jecky?
Jecky, yeah, yeah. So to see, we kind of know what happens with them at the end of the Acolyte. So just a nice little origin story. Like you could tell that there was some, you know, some story between the two of them. So kind of excited to see what that story is going to be. And another thing I'm actually pretty interested in is the audio novel for the High Republic 2. I think this is not Marshawn Rowe. This is, oh, what's her name? Lorna D. Lorna D. and Marshawn Rowe, I think, is on this the cover here for this audio novel. Cause I you know, it reminds me of obviously the Count Dooku one. Was a Jedi Lost? Was that the name of the audio novel? So to have another one of these, I think it's going to be pretty cool. So I'm excited to hear how that goes. I don't think it says who is going to be, because normally they'll have like a cast of people, you know, as opposed to like a regular audiobook, you have the one person doing all the voices. This, I'm going to assume, is going to be more of a, you know, kind of a cast and more of a you know, production in that way. So I'm pretty excited for a couple of these here.
Nice, yeah. Some good call-outs, too. Yeah, and that's not to mention there's, like, several other... I mean, we covered probably half of the announcements in this article. Right. There's a lot more, so... yeah, like, if you're watching the video version of the podcast, here's some cool, I guess, concept art for different characters within the High Republic timeline, and looking pretty cool. And here's a comic cover for... I believe this is the Star Wars Force Awakens comic. Featuring our friend Poe Dameron and of course BB-8. So, I mean, again, that's like, I think barely more than half. There's a Bad Batch one in there somewhere as well, like an entire Bad Batch Dark Horse comic. So if we had something in there, then we didn't mention it. We'll link the article down below in the show notes of today's episode if you're interested in checking out kind of the entire list of like those 17 or 18 things that we mentioned about half of. So. Lots to be looking forward to. Lots of cool announcements out of New York Comic Con from 2 weeks ago. And yeah, looking forward to the release of all these in the upcoming future. And having said that, we've got two more pieces of news today, actually, both of which are probably like somewhat considerably shorter than our first piece of news, since that was such an extensive like list of awesome releases that we got to share just there. The second piece of news is actually somewhat of an Easter egg in a way. In the, I believe it was the mid or early 80s, there were these two films released, The Caravan of Courage and The Battle for Endor. And these films were like these made-for-TV movies, like looked very cheap compared to like New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi at the time. But of course, incorporated some of the cast here and there. And mainly the Ewoks were a central element in these films. And so... if you're watching the video version of the podcast, another character that was showcased in the Battle for Endor film was called the Teek. Was the name of the character, Teek. And so this character has essentially been non-canonical since its debut, you know, in this made-for-TV movie back in the mid-80s. And ironically, in the upcoming Star Wars Skeleton Crew show, one of the directors of the episodes stated in an interview that, of course, this being David Lowery, who's directing, I want to say, one or two of the episodes of Skeleton Crew, revealed that the Teek, who is another kind of native species to the planet, is to Endor, is making its debut or comeback, so to speak, in his episode that he's directing. Of Skeleton Crew, which is kind of a fun addition Easter egg. And again, if you're watching the video version of the podcast, I don't know. I think I prefer the look of the Ewoks personally. What about you, Joey?
Yeah, I think it's like the older cousin of the Ewok. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've seen a little bit more battle in their time, but also it looks like they have more fun too. I mean, they got the long hair, you know. remember Ben, when you had the long hair? I think that was like episode one.
Yeah,
when we were young and sillier and had no agenda for our podcast. I think that's him. I think that's what the Teek are. So you know, not a huge piece of news for me because I like I, you know, I think we've mentioned in the past, I don't think I've ever actually watched that, which we do. I think at one point we do want to actually do some type of reaction and discussion about those older movies as well. But just to see it, I think this is a nice little shout out to those fans from those movies. So we'll see how they incorporate them into the to the show. If it's just a literally a small little cameo, or if it's a kind of a Dobby situation from like Harry Potter. You know, you didn't think that Dobby was going to be that important, but it ended up actually being pretty important to the plot.
This is a. Yeah, this is an opportunity for us to do a reaction to this movie. Now that it's current news, I guess. I don't know. But actually, I read in the article that this is apparently like a really fast species.
Oh.
Which is, I don't know. I don't see it looking at this little fella. But nonetheless, we'll get to see him in one of the upcoming episodes of Star Wars Skeleton Crew. Which, if you can believe it, we're about 5 weeks away from seeing that. So exciting just in that regard alone. So. Teeks, officially back in Star Wars. What's that's what 2024 is all about, I guess. Teeks coming back to Star Wars. So. Our last piece of news for today is perhaps the most influential in terms of the Star Wars film sphere, particularly because the upcoming Rey Skywalker film, which does not have an official release date yet, the writer or screenwriter for this film, Steven Knight, has officially exited the project, and he is no longer working on the Rey Skywalker movie set to take place years after the end of Episode 9, where Rey is reforming the Jedi Order. I actually didn't make this connection until I read about this piece of news, but Steven Knight, I wasn't aware if I was familiar with his work or not. He actually is the creator and showrunner for, I don't know if you've seen Peaky Blinders or not, but it is like a really fantastic show. Anyone out there who's a fan of just TV or movies, if you haven't seen Peaky Blinders, Cillian Murphy is the lead actor in that. Tom Hardy's another actor who's in it. And it's just, it's probably like one of my top 10 shows I've ever seen in general.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's really good, and he's the showrunner and the creator for that show. But once I made that connection, I was like, oh, he's not a part of this film anymore.
Right.
And I think it stinks because I think there's a lot of people who are just naturally skeptical of a Rey film because of kind of the polarization of the sequel trilogy. And so to have someone as talented and renowned not be a part of the project anymore, especially someone who I'm personally like really a fan of, even though I didn't know I was a fan of, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't know that he was the one that made the show that I enjoyed so much until recently. Kind of leaves me feeling, oh man, he could have really contributed to making that film.
Right.
Really good, which is a little bit of a letdown. What did you think when you heard this news?
It's hard to not see the trend in the movies or the shows or of Star Wars. I mean, look what happened to the sequel trilogy. Just like you said, it's hard to not wonder what it could have been if they would have planned it better, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the directors, how they swapped, how they changed, how the story probably changed kind of halfway through. And here's an opportunity where you're able to start off fresh. And like you said, a pretty, you know, well-known, although maybe not, you know, by name, but, you know, pretty good writer. And to have them exit the project is discouraging, unfortunately, because then what happens? And I will admit it, I don't follow many other franchises like I do Star Wars. I don't know if this happens to Marvel or if it happened to Harry Potter, or if it happens to, you know, on the DC side of things. But it just seems to happen so often in Star Wars, so it's discouraging, is what it is. And you know, I when they announced that there was going to be a movie based on Rey's story after Episode 9, I had some hope, but to see this, it gives me a little worry. It gives me a little pause. I won't lie.
Yeah, like you said, it feels like it's following a recent Star Wars trend. I mean, like, how many Star Wars films recently have been canceled, and you know, or announced, and not even like really gotten their feet on the ground. It feels like we're at like, I mean, I have a list here actually. It's so originally like Colin Trevorrow was supposed to do episode 9, that was canceled. There was supposed to be a solo Boba Fett movie, which I think was ultimately like reformatted into the show, which is partially why the show wasn't, you know, quite what it should have been. There was supposed to be a Mos Eisley movie that was canceled. There was supposed to be a Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, Jabba the Hutt movie canceled around 2018. There was also supposed to be the David Benioff and D.B. Weiss Star Wars trilogy, the Game of Thrones guys, which was canceled in 2019. Rangers of the New Republic was canceled in 2021. The Rogue Squadron was canceled and then resumed, and then it was maybe canceled again. I don't even know, to be honest with you.
Aren't we in limbo right now with that one? I thought that was... Was that the one with...
Patty Jenkins?
Yeah, yeah, Patty Jenkins, right, yeah.
Yeah, there's the Kevin Feige movie, which was canceled last year. I think there was supposed to be originally a Rey Skywalker film directed by Damon Lindelof, which was canceled last year. And so, not to mention, I guess, I don't know if The Acolyte really counts, but, you know, you could toss that one in there as well if you really want.
Throw it in there with things that didn't go quite right in Star Wars.
Yeah, so I mean, there is this like trend within the past 5 or 6 years of like, hey, we've got all these cool Star Wars things coming out. Look at this, look at that. And then like 90% of them never end up making it to post. So this just unfortunately feels like kind of part of a growing trend, sadly. But hopefully it doesn't apply to the whole film eventually is I guess what we can hope for. So.
Right.
That is our news for the day. We have kind of, I guess, a lot of Star Wars news there to share. That was a fun kind of a very different three pieces of news, but all really fun to share about and discuss briefly. And as it relates to our most recent episode, which we discussed kind of the history of Han Shot first, we asked you both on the YouTube community tab and over on X, who shot first, Han or Greedo? On YouTube, 92% of the vote going with Han. Sounds about right. And meanwhile, over on X, 100% of the votes going with Han. So that 8% of you out there, maybe those one or two people, I don't know if they're trying to be different or what, but I don't know.
They just stand true with George Lucas. That's what that is.
True, yeah. Hey, go back and listen to our episode from 2 weeks ago if you haven't listened to about the history of Han Shot first. So anyways, let us know your thoughts in response to this week's poll over on the YouTube community tab or over on the Hoth Hangout X account. All things Star Wars collectibles today, Joey. And I'm gonna lead it right into you to kick us off, because I know this is your bread and butter, your jam, and I'll let you take it away.
Did you want to like go get a drink or something, and I'll come back in about 45 minutes? And then,
I'll be back. I'm gonna go take a little power nap.
Well, yeah, Star Wars collecting is what we're talking about today. I'll start with my story of how I got into collecting. One of my biggest things that I've mentioned in the past is playing with the Lando Calrissian toy from Return of the Jedi. He's got the helmet. He's got the staff. It's when he's the bounty hunter, he's the bounty hunter on Jabba's ship there. So that's kind of my first memory of having anything that I really wanted from Star Wars. It wasn't mine. It was actually my brother's, and I would play with that thing like all the time. Like I would be in the basement, like not even actually like fighting. You know how you normally would have your toys, you would like fight against like the enemy or whatever. I would literally just be popping it off his helmet and then like putting the staff in and just, you know, just kind of talking his Lando, you know, hand, you know. So that's all I would do. And it was just one of those things that really connected me with the franchise. And for such a, you know, and you know, however many years ago, there are going to be people, there are going to be generations of people who are introduced to the franchise and then possibly gravitate to something that is, you know, can be considered a collectible. So, you know, that very toy now if unopened in a box is something like $200. So just, you know, to give a little bit of a, you know, a value around it. But to someone like me, it wasn't even about the value. It was just like, you know, what it meant for me to have that particular toy. So now that I'm a grown up with money, I'll look back at that, something like that. I'm like, you know, it'd be cool if I had that now. You know, did you have anything like that when you were kind of introduced to Star Wars?
I'm trying to remember. I think the first thought that came to mind when you were talking about kind of that same style of thing, because my first introduction to Star Wars was more in the prequel era. Again, the sad story that the first Star Wars film I ever watched was actually Attack of the Clones. So I was born in the mid-90s, and I didn't, you know, I was pretty young when the prequels came out, but I remember there being like a real big push on merchandise back then, especially with, I mean, it was a thing with the originals, but then like the prequels really, I felt like, kicked it into full drive with the merchandise stuff. And there, you know, the scene from Attack of the Clones with, at the beginning of the film, roughly the beginning, where Obi-Wan and Anakin are chasing in that yellow speeder. I had a little collectible. I don't even know. It's probably somewhere in my parents' basement now. I had this little yellow collectible speeder. And that was probably like one of my first memories of like acquiring Star Wars things that I, especially because I actually like played with it at the time, because I was probably like 7 or 8 or something like that. That was probably the first thing that came to mind. But I'm sure like as the years went on, there was more things like actually like, like action figures and stuff like that. But that yellow ship from Attack of the Clones, that yellow speeder is the first thing I can remember.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's everyone probably, you know, in the Star Wars, you know, probably a good portion of the Star Wars fandom at least had seen something or identified with something or just saw something that they really wanted to get their hands on. That's a great thing about Star Wars collecting, is that not only is there, you know, something tangible that you could hold, that you could play with, that you can collect, but there's also like a big community of other people who also collect. Some are whales and they'll get everything, every single little item of Star Wars that they can get. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But then there are the people that just, you know, enjoy each little item that they could find. So I wanted to go back and kind of just talk about like the history behind some of the bigger toys or collectibles through the Star Wars universe here. So one of the first things that came out was in 1977. There was the Kenner line of action figures that came out, along with the release of A New Hope. So the cool thing about this is that before this episode, I didn't really know like the history behind everything, but to find out that, you know, they actually couldn't even produce enough of these figures because of the demand of, you know, how incredible Star Wars was at the time, just called Star Wars. And they ended up having to sell this thing called the early bird certificate package of the first 4 figures. And it was like Luke, Leia, Chewbacca, and R2. So you think about like chain supply, you know, these are the things that you have to think of, you know, when you're creating these toys. There probably wasn't a big, you know, when Star Wars came out, now I wasn't there, there seemed to be a pretty good amount of hype going into it. And to not to meet that demand like kind of right away is something that still happens today, because if you remember with The Mandalorian, like when they had Baby Yoda, and, you know, they were ready. But even still, even now, they didn't release a Baby Yoda figure until like that following Christmas. And I forget what month there's our Baby Yoda now renamed Grogu. Shout out to Ahsoka for that one. So to have them still have these types of production problems, I think it's just actually kind of funny that they can still run into something like that. And that was kind of that year one. Obviously, over the years, I believe they figured it out, and the Star Wars thing might be around here for a while. So they started creating other things. But another interesting story was the Boba Fett figure that came out a couple of years later in 79. I don't know if you know this story, Ben, of the story behind this Boba Fett.
I didn't until I saw our show notes, and I actually like read a little bit about it
It's
in preparation for today.
kind of crazy. So with this one, it was originally supposed to shoot this rocket. So if you're looking at the video version of the podcast here, you'll see that there's like a red rocket that kind of shoots out from the from his backpack jet there, and but after a while they determined that it was going to be a safety issue, so they did have a prototype already produced for this, and I think I want to say if I read right, there were about 80 to 100 that were actually produced but never sent out. It was a mail-in essentially for like kids to send in like proof of purchase. I don't know exactly for what, but you could actually send it in and then mail, and then they'll mail you back. This is the time we're talking about. There was no Amazon. There was no. It probably took them 6 to 8 weeks, maybe a few months, to probably get this back. But the version that came back was the version that the rocket did not shoot out. So originally it was marketed like, oh, this is the Boba Fett figure, and this is where people fell in love with this character already. I believe this was, yeah, obviously before Empire came out. So to have that excitement kind of going into it, and then so they ended up pulling the prototype versions. They never made any more of the 80 to 100. I think currently right now there are 30 in circulation in the world. So it's kind of having that really true rarity to it. Actually, when I was in 2019, when Star Wars Celebration was here in Chicago, out of the 30 that were in circulation, there was actually two of them that were at at the Star Wars Celebration. So me and my brother had to go take a look at it. We took some pictures with it, and like, oh, because just like with comics or cards, you can grade action figures too. So those were actually graded. So they had like them in like this the sealed case, and it had the grade on it and everything. I don't remember the grades, but I think I remember back then they were asking for something like $100,000 to $200,000 for something like that. So for that one figure, and it was obviously more of just like kind of like a showing it off type of thing, and having people come through, and which was really cool. But to come to find out that one of these actually sold for this year to auction at $525,000. This is
That's
one
crazy.
figure that is, that was, in full functioning rocket shooting, and this is what actually came out, and how many years after, what, 40 something years. And it's just an amazing piece of amazing piece. Can you imagine going into like your grandma's attic and finding this or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of my first thoughts is like, think about the cumulative value of the other 70 that aren't in circulation that are probably like sitting in a like a garbage like
Right.
pile somewhere in an industrial waste land,
Right.
or like I don't know what that would be. Like, I guess it would be what, 35, if there's 70 of them and they're each worth half a million, it's like there's 35 million worth of Boba Fetts out there in your landmines in your cities, everybody.
Right, yeah. No, it's already been incinerated, and it's probably been in, all of our water at this point. So it's part of us,
That's the way of looking at it,
But yeah, so crazy. I mean, and still to this day, there's still a lot of, obviously I mentioned my story with, the Lando, and later on, you had your story with the yellow ship, and even till this day, they continue coming out with every single show, with every single movie. They'll continue coming out with action figures, which is cool because, like I said, and we've said this too, is that at some, everyone's going to enter Star Wars at some point, or a fan is going to enter it at some point. And whether it is a Boba Fett, or if it's a land speeder, or if it's, Jackie, whatever, someone's, they're going to find something that they really connect to, and it's going to be more than, well, maybe not more than 500,000, but more to them than, what it would be to the next person, which I think is just really cool. And that's the cool thing about collecting.
Yeah. I hope to get just a sight of one of these someday,
Well,
much less owning one.
if we ever get to a celebration together, we'll I'm sure there'll
That's
be one
true.
there.
There is going to eventually be a live episode of the podcast coming from Star Wars Celebration. One of these years,
Yeah.
we'll see if we can ever make that happen. But maybe it'll come back to Chicago again. Who knows?
The next thing is trading cards. Now, I grew up on trading cards, more the sports side. I don't. Did you ever collect cards when you were growing up?
Oh yeah. Oh
Yeah.
yeah. Oh yeah. I
And
was
what, basketball,
big,
baseball, or which one?
all of the above.
Yeah, same
We had
here.
we had this place, which like I feel like, I'm at the place in my life where I don't feel old, but I feel like I can remember when things felt really different, which I guess does in some way make you feel older. Like I look at like I don't know, like a common example is just like the price of like food or groceries, basically, like compared to when you're growing up. But for me, the biggest thing is like is cards. Trading cards and like, I did like Yu-Gi-Oh and Pokemon too. Just like we'd go to a card shop. My dad would take us, my brothers and I, and it was called Lobos was the name of the shop, and they had these massive packs of 70 cards, and they were all kind of like usually repurposed cards, and so you'd get 70 cards for 99 cents. I remember that,
Nice.
and like I just feel like that's. That doesn't happen in card shops nowadays. You can't get that many cards for that little.
Right.
Yeah, and I remember I also got like a Lou Brock baseball from that shop,
Oh,
and
nice.
I mean I probably, I don't know, over like 3 or 4 years probably collected a couple thousand cards from that shop, I would say. And baseball was my biggest one. Basketball was another big one. So yeah, all that to say, yeah, I was very into collecting cards. And would I have known that Star Wars cards were a thing? I would have been into that
You know
too.
what? Me too, and I definitely missed the boat on that one. So that also in 1977, Topps created some a card set based off of the original movie, obviously. The debut set consisted of 66 cards and 11 stickers, and that's a seven if you're counting at home. That's 77 total. That's also in the year that they all came out. So that was a pretty big release. There are definitely what's interesting is that there are still sealed boxes here and there of this product, and I didn't pull any numbers of the prices here of those, but just imagine that a mint condition. But and these actually came with the bubble gum in there, so this is how old this product is.
Wow.
So probably shouldn't be eating that gum. But for the cards inside, I think the Luke one is very popular. There was actually also an a card that was pulled from production after a while. Had you heard anything about this particular card?
No, huh? What's
Okay.
the card?
So it's a C-3PO card. And it is this is gonna get a little spicier than our usual content here. So a viewer warning here on this. So for whatever reason, the card the way the card the picture was taken, well, I'll just say this. It was nicknamed the Goldenrod card. And it was just for whatever reason, the way the picture was taken, or what have you, it looked like there was a golden rod.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, I might want to put that on incognito mode. But yeah,
Yeah.
so something like that. And actually, I did read that some of that card actually sold recently for something like $6,000, $8,000, or something like that. So it is
Wow.
a it's just one of those things that. I don't know if you remember. Do you remember in the 90s? Well, I know you were young, but there was a Billy Ripken baseball card with a bat barrel. Did you ever hear about that one?
No, huh?
So there's a Billy Ripken, and we're going off course here, but I mean there's a Billy Ripken card where he's holding a bat, and at the bottom of the bat there's some expletives. We'll just put it that way. There's some expletives on that on the bottom of the bat.
I'm looking at
And
it,
yeah, so there's that version of the card for somehow got out. I don't know the full story behind it, but a large portion of the this in circulation is a version where it's all blacked out, so you actually can't see it. So it's just back then, error cards were like the biggest thing. So something like that. It sounded. I mean, it sounded like this wasn't an error card. This was just unfortunate lighting, I don't know. So just an interesting little thing. Topps continues to make these cards now. They have very and if we're looking at the podcast, the video version of the podcast, 15 cents. You want to talk about something that's cheap. 15 cents back in 1977. If you could find one car that's worth that much now, it'd be a deal. So now they have these boxes that are at retail selling for $300, $400, sometimes thousands of dollars now. So when you're talking, Ben, about how things have changed as far as prices, yes, you are right with trading cards.
Yeah, imagine being the guy who just, like, by happenstance 40 years ago was like, oh, I'll take two or three of them, and then just, like, left them on the shelf, and then, you know, his son finds them 40 years later and is like, oh, these are worth, like, thousands of dollars, and my dad paid, like, 45 cents for three of these, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a – and I think with the – and when I think it was back in episode 40 of our podcast or something around there that time, we had a friend come by. His name was Chris Keller. He's owner of a hobby shop local to me, actually. And so he talked a little bit about how the cards, how memorabilia, especially in Star Wars, really skyrocketed. And it's not even just Star Wars. It was basketball. It was baseball during the pandemic, because that's when people just wanted to do something, and they for whatever reason gravitated towards, like, collectible things. So ever since that time, it's been so difficult to find anything that is, like, under $100 for a box, or $200 for a box. And it's sad, because you do want the kids to, like, enjoy these things too, but you don't want to have to, like, take out a second mortgage just to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sorry, I was looking at this Billy Ripken card.
Yeah.
$130 on Amazon.
Is it $130? Okay.
That's the cheapest one, at least.
That's crazy.
Anyways, sorry, you piqued my curiosity with the Billy Ripken thing.
That's a whole other episode. That's a whole other podcast. Coming soon.
Yeah. Well, we touched on the toys and the cards. What about one of your personal favorites, Joey, Lego?
Well, this is exactly the time is probably a good time for you to, like, talk a little bit too, because this is the era that you kind of entered collectible
times. Right.
Do you remember, like, so in 1999, that's when the first Star Wars Lego set. And another thing I didn't realize, first licensed Lego set based on a movie franchise. So I didn't know that either.
Yeah, so, me neither. That's super cool.
Yeah, do you remember Lego being a big thing when you were looking at the toy shops and anything for Star Wars?
You know, I do, but for whatever reason, and it may just because it was, like, really new at the time, I don't remember it being, at least when I was a young kid, maybe when I got to be, like, a teenager, maybe I remember it better. But as a young kid, I don't remember, like, a Lego connection to Star Wars. Like, mm-hmm. I loved Star Wars, and I played with Legos, but I don't recall there being a connection at the time. And maybe it just was because that launch happened, you know, in 99. Maybe it just wasn't, like, you know, maybe it hadn't made its way towards my area yet. I don't know, but I wish I would have been aware of it, right?
Yeah,
like, making my own X-Wings and Millennium Falcons back in the early 2000s would have been quite the fun time, I imagine.
Yeah, and to think about, I mean, so I'm a little older than you, as we know. So I was of sound mind and body, and I probably could have started, you know, collecting at that time, because I actually did get into the because of how everything got so pricey. When I say pricey, like, you know, a lot of things rose in value as far as collectibles during that era. So mm-hmm. that's when companies started, like, just flooding the market with toys and everything, and probably 99 during right before the prequel started, that's when they just started, like, just vomiting essentially everything, anything that we can get at to the consumers. So but Lego, like I said, being, you know, the first time that they were with any movie franchise, again, which I didn't realize, obviously it coincided with the Phantom Menace release. And another thing, kind of thing that happened because of this, it was, you know, obviously, and this is something near and dear to you and me as well, is that Lego games started, you know, Lego Star Wars games started coming out as well. So there was one for the prequels, and I think there ended up being one for kind of the entire series, the Skywalker saga, mm-hmm. and just a ton of other ones. So, and we've talked about how much we just love the Lego kind of the Lego IP, the movie IP, is, you know, in general, because it's so fun. It translates just the way it does in movies, just in the games too. So it's a cool thing to kind of have that. Lego really took this thing and really went running with it. And to give you an idea of some of the items that are out there now, I mean, just the same thing, like I said, with movies and shows, they'll come up with new sets, they'll come out with new minifigures. And I think one of the more sought after minifigures was like a, I think it was a gold, oh, I want to say there was like, well, there was a C-3PO that's pretty pricey, but there's another gold item, I can't remember what it is, but there's definitely a lot of minifigures, and those are just like the little small things too, you know. Imagine paying hundreds of dollars just for a little Leia, you know what I mean? I mean, those are the, that's the kind of market that we're in. So to see that, and again, that they still come out with great sets. I build them from time to time as well. I can't buy everything, unfortunately, but because I don't even have the room for all of that. So just to even imagine. But have you built a Lego? You did build a Lego too. You did the Mandalorian run, right?
Yeah, at the time my girlfriend, but now my fiance and I built. If you're watching the video version of the podcast, I guess I have it.
He's trying to grab the helmet from his shelf back there for those who can't see what's going on.
Well, I just dropped my Star Wars Pez dispensers in the process, but one of the pieces popped off. The other thing about this particular build is that it always has felt like not incredibly stable.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're doing. The Darth Vader version of that is exactly the same way.
Yeah, so I'll hold it so that people can like kind of see it. There's the Mandalorian helmet we built together. So I have like a little bit of familiarity with it, I will say.
I mean, again, just another cool thing to own and now and build too. I think the building part of it is a big lure to it, you know. A lot of people just love having all these pieces, you know. It's like a puzzle, just putting it all together. So and then we move on to 2011 with Funko Pops now.
Oh man, I got a Funko Pop story for
Funko
you.
Funko Pop now. Here's the cool thing. Now, so with the first release of a Star Wars set, they included characters like Vader and Yoda, Han Solo, and Princess Leia. You can see here there was also Stormtrooper Chewbacca and Greedo. So originally they had more of a bobblehead type of feel to them. Right now, current ones don't have as much as a bobblehead like kind of look. But back then is kind of what they started with there. And they ended up releasing more, like obviously Luke and Boba Fett, Darth Maul, C-3PO. So it was just a cool, different scale, because the usual Kenner/Hasbro, they always were at a 3¾-inch scale, which you're kind of used to seeing. But with Funkos, they end up getting to be a little bit bigger. So just to kind of have that, it, you know, when you first saw it, and I'll admit it, when I first saw Funkos, and I'm so sad about this, I'm like, that's goofy. That looks goofy. There's no way this sticks. And here we are, you know, how many years later, you know, and they're still cranking these things out. Every single movie franchise, any TV show, anything in pop culture, music, anything, will have some type of Funko. You know you've made it if you have a Funko, essentially, right? So they have these exclusives for conventions that they get. I'll actually show one here in a bit. And there's just a bunch. And here's another one. Yeah, let's see the Funko that you got there, Ben.
It's a Valentine's Day Ahsoka one that Mariah gave to me.
Ah, she really knows the way to your heart, Ben.
Yeah, just Star Wars. That's like 95% of my personality.
Nice.
No, yeah, it was a Valentine's Day gift this past year. But that's my. You know, it's funny. I was at Target the other day. I was looking at the Funko Pops, and my predominant thought was, I probably would be like $1,000 less. Like I would be out of $1,000. At least if I had started collecting Funko Pops like a couple years ago, just because I know myself, and knowing that, like, at every opportunity, I probably would have picked these up, one of these up, like, you know, at the store whenever I saw one. And I still have those moments where I'm like, should I start collecting Star Wars pops? Because it's such a fun thing. Like you said, like, the design, the style, it's so different looking. There's almost like an attractive quality to that. Like, oh, it looks different. I want to, like, you know, engage in that, collecting that thing. Anyways, yeah, I personally really like Funko Pops, and I would have collected these years ago and probably been out so much money, like I said.
And props to you, Ben, for keeping the Funko in the box, because I am a box keeper as well.
Yeah. I feel like it's kind of like part of the, you know, the presentation of it. I like, especially being able to, like, see the little number that it's associated with. That's fun for me, especially, but yeah.
Nice. So yeah, so Funko's still around as well. So, I mean, you've got trading cards, you got Lego, you got action figures, you've got Funko. And obviously there's, like, there are people like you and me, the consumers, that kind of just go to a Target or their local toy shop or something. You see a couple things here or there, like, oh, that's pretty cool, and that's pretty fun. But then there's, like, a whole other level of collectors out there. And one of them, the Rancho, sorry, hold on a second.
The Rancho Obi-Wan one?
Rancho Obi-Wan Museum of Star Wars Memorabilia.
Yeah.
Looks amazing. So they have so much stuff, and they're just one of a couple of really big collectors. So, I mean, it's a museum that you can go to. They actually end up going to, they set up shop at the larger conventions as well. So you can kind of take a peek at some of their more mobile type of collection items. And it's just this is one place. If there's outside of Celebration, if you and I can go to this place, I think that would be a lot of fun.
I don't think I would leave.
Right?
You know, it's funny. I have found that, like, pawn shops and small town, these small town pawn shops are some of the most fun places to explore, because they'll have, like, these, you know, pretty, like, quaint comic book sections, and you're like, oh, that's cool, and you'll open it up, and it's like, oh, look at all the Star Wars stuff, and then you'll go to the toy section in the store. It's like, oh my gosh, like, look at all these, like, I found, like, did I overpay for this? Maybe. I found this, like, Luke Skywalker Shadows of the Empire action figure, like, in a store in my fiance's hometown, like a pawn shop store. Same thing with, I don't know if you can see it, but if you're watching the video version of the podcast, I've got this, like, Empire Strikes Back lunchbox up here that is an original from the 80s. Like, that was $5 in this, you know, this store. It's like, I feel like a lot of the cool finds like that are in places like this. I mean, this is obviously like a museum, but it reminds me of the way that this pawn shop was set up that I found a lot of these cool things in. But yeah, I don't even know, where is Rancho Obi-Wan located?
I believe it's in California. I really should have looked at this before I...
Yeah, Petaluma, California, it looks like.
I don't even know what part of the state that is, but... Essentially, it's just a huge museum. Like I said, they do set up a convention sometimes. And a cool thing that they're doing is that they're going to be teaming up with a couple of other collectors. And they're trying to make this huge, what they're calling the Saga Museum of Star Wars Memorabilia. So they're combining forces. They're probably not closing down their respective museums. But they're joining forces to create this huge 1.5 million object museum. Let's see some of the stats here. 200,000 square foot space, general store. They'll have a cafe, facilities for events, a 300 seat theater, permanent exhibits, educational. I mean, they're just really going into this. And kind of for the love of Star Wars. Now, of course, they need the funding and stuff like that, so they're kind of reaching out to the fandom to see if they could help out with a kind of like a crowdfunding type of model. But just imagine having this type of, I mean, you know, like I said, the Rancho Obi-Wan already is a pretty huge museum, but to have, you know, four of the big forces in collecting, combining their collections together and having like in one spot. We got to go there for sure.
We'll link the website for Rancho Obi-Wan and the Saga Museum, but the sheer amount of things in this collection is incredible. Also, can I point out the fact that not only is one of them called Rancho Obi-Wan, but all three of the other collections have these really punny nicknames that are Star Wars related too. Did you see what those are?
I did, yeah. You want to go through them?
Yeah. So in addition to Rancho Obi-Wan, it's Boba Cabana, the Sithsonian.
It's a good one.
And the Imperial Archives. I mean, these collections have to be worth just millions and millions of dollars.
If not billions, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild. Anyways, that's cool to see like that they're trying to create that sort of cumulative effort. And by the way, Rancho Obi-Wan is located in Petaluma, which looks like it's a suburb about half an hour north of San Francisco.
Well, I'm going to the Bay Area in December, so...
You could make a short trip up the road to Petaluma to see this. So, I mean, it might be worth it. I'm just saying.
Yep, that's happening. That's
happening. Live podcast from Rancho Obi-Wan.
Right. Look out for the new video of that one.
Yeah. I mean, out of everything you've collected, Joey, all the Star Wars items, do you have a favorite or any favorites if it's more than one thing?
There are a couple of things that I did want to show off. So one thing, like I mentioned earlier, there is, you know, Topps sells cards, and they have the license for like autographs and such for them as well. So one of the things that I really enjoyed was they sold these 16x20 photos, blind bag photos essentially, that were autographed. And one of the ones that I pulled was a pretty good one. It's not a Han. It's not, you know, anyone like that. But it is a pretty cool one. It's Jyn Erso here. I think I've showed this before, but this is one of my favorite ones to own here. I have it on my wall here. So yeah, it's a cool one. I do have a couple of other ones. I have one from Kelly Marie Tran, who is Rose Tico. But here, this is one of my favorites for sure. And then I have another one. Let me grab this one real quick.
Man, I'm telling you, like some of the things that I've got in my collection, I feel like I look at some of the stuff you've got in your collection, I'm like, oh, I tell you what,
yeah, that's just my life. But also, I kind of mentioned earlier that they, for certain conventions, they have like exclusives for Funkos and other figures and like that. So at 2019, I got this Funko of Boba Fett. And you can see there's like a sticker over here that officially says like Star Wars Celebration 2019. The box even says it itself on the back, and kind of like what you were saying, it's kind of like the whole presentation of the, so you can see I actually put this in a, I don't know if you can tell, it's in a little plastic case too. So but yeah, Boba Fett, this is, and it's the blue chrome version of the figure. So at Star Wars Celebration, they actually sold there was an 8 set of Funkos, and it had like Yoda and Chewbacca, Stormtrooper, and a couple of other ones on the blue chrome. So, you know, so of course I had to buy. Remember you were saying you could easily spend $1,000? That might have happened at Celebration, but you know, so I had to get these. But these were at retail, so these were each like $12, $15 each or something like that. So because it was at Celebration, they're worth a little bit more. I think this one is, I think it was at highest maybe $300-$400.
Wow.
But the longer you go away from Celebration, for the most part, especially with these more rare ones, the price will continue to go up. So
right,
of course I'm keeping it safe here in the room. Don't worry. Yeah. No one come by. It's I'm putting them back in my safe deposit box after that.
Yeah, 2050 is gonna roll around. You're like, oh, should I sell this Chrome Boba for like $40,000?
Yeah, well, the answer is yes. The answer is yes.
yeah. I was thinking about like, I don't know. I guess I already shared a couple things. But actually, super random. I don't know if you can see it or not, but I just realized I have another Funko Pop of, but it's a basketball Funko Pop.
Okay, nice.
So I do have more than one. No, but my thing, well, let me first give a shout out to my guy, Boz Nass. Where is he?
Yeah, right there, yeah. Right there.
Also a thrift shop find that Mariah found. But my thing is probably going to be my Darth Maul lightsaber that I got from, gosh, why am I blanking on the name? The place in Disneyland.
Galaxy's Edge.
Galaxy's Edge, yes, thank you. So the cool thing about this, I was there, and of course, like, having never been there before, that was the only time I've ever been, and still have only ever been that one time. And I just, you know, as a lifelong Star Wars fan, it was like, this is incredible. So I felt like I really wanted something to, like, purchase and then bring home that marked, like, the specialness of that occasion for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got a couple things, but like the thing that I spent the most on was this, these lightsabers, and they're cool cause they're both identical, but they are, combinable, and you can actually create Darth Maul's lightsaber built with
the dual wielding one, right? Or the,
yes,
the double lightsaber, I should say.
Right. So that you kind of, they have these pieces on them that you sort of unscrew the bottom. And then there's this other piece that comes with it where you.
Like a coupler.
Yeah, a coupler. I guess that is what you would call it. Yeah. You've got the coupler here. Can screw it in to the other lightsaber. Nice. As well. And then actually, I think I have my. I should have put the blades. I've got the blades down there on the floor, but then it's like the.
That's the hilt, yeah.
The complete hilt for the Darth Maul lightsaber.
That's so pretty cool.
Yeah, that's
good thing.
Probably...
Yeah, good thing Darth Maul has the Force, because if he had to like undo it and take out the coupler, and
yeah.
he would have died way earlier in that movie.
Yeah, so I don't know if I have something like, I don't know if I. I mean, I have like probably this might be the most vintage thing I have. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, or maybe the lunchbox. I'm not sure, but I think the majority of my collecting has probably been things acquired within the past 3 or 4 years, so to speak. But yeah, I'd probably go with the lightsaber as my nice. Personal favorite. Baby Yoda might be a close second. Grogu is sitting there staring at us this entire time during the podcast. So
yeah, like, you know, like we said, it's what it means to each individual, you know, and like what you were saying, that you brought a piece home from Galaxy's Edge, and that's what it was, and you know, to kind of signify that time of. And that's what the cool thing about collecting. It could be any of those things, where it could be just, mm-hmm. It could be something of monetary value that's really cool, or it's just something very sentimental, you know, that that means a lot to each person. So it's just a cool thing about collecting. And I know it could be expensive, but you know, there are hopes that, you know, like if you just grab one thing, that something tangible, like I said, it just you have a part of the franchise, which is just super cool.
It's an investment, Joey. You gotta look at it that way. Yeah. No, yeah, I think that is like the cool thing about collecting. It can really be like what you want it to be. It's like you can be like one of those whales, like you said, with the you know, the people who have those entire collections of memorabilia, or it can be like the sentiment around the item that you purchased. I didn't even think about it, but like this special edition poster from Return of the Jedi is also another thing. But,
yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So it's like, oh yeah, I mean, I think I have more of those things than I think I do.
Yeah, you're just like, you're kind of like naming them off. You're just like, oh yeah, I guess I do have a pretty decent collection, right?
Yeah. So, collecting is something that I think is pretty cool, and I think it's approachable for pretty much anyone, which is kind of what makes it, I guess, a really special thing. But I guess that also poses an opportunity for us to ask all those of you listening and watching to reiterate our question we asked at the top of the podcast. What Star Wars do you collect? Let us know down in the comments of today's episode or on our socials at Hoth Hangout. Is it the toys, the trading cards, Lego, Funko Pop, or something else? Again, let us know your thoughts on your favorite Star Wars memorabilia or collectibles. And that about does it for today's episode of the podcast. Episode 102 is in the books. Next week's episode, we're going to take some considerations into account here based off of our episode 100 live stream. The predominant response from those of you listening and watching live to the podcast was that you wanted more live streams in year three. I guess we're now in year three of the podcast. Wow, that feels weird to say out loud.
It does feel weird.
I was going to say it, and I was like, is that right? Yeah, we're in year three. So live streams will be a more frequent thing in year three of the podcast. And our first live stream of year three is going to be next week. It'll be a tier list, TBD, a little bit of a surprise on what that tier list will be. We will reveal that during the episode next week, the live stream of episode 103. But hope all of you can be there to join us. Again, TBD in terms of the specific time of that live stream, but it more than likely will be either on Tuesday night or Wednesday night of next week. So stay tuned to the Hoth Hangout socials or the YouTube community tab for further updates on the next episode of the podcast, the live stream, where we'll be doing a tier list with all those of you in chat. Having said all that, thank you to those of you who are subscribed to the Hoth Hangout channel on YouTube, where you can check out the video version of the podcast and all of our reactions to the latest Star Wars shows as they go live. You can also contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them here on the podcast. You can find the Hoth Hangout podcast wherever you get your pods, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a 5-star review, leave a 5-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much. And it also does allow it to be more easily discovered by other people that love Star Wars as well. We are on the socials on Instagram, TikTok, and X at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms. Tune into each of those, follow us on those. And additionally, you can find us on the Hoth Hangout community Discord server, for which the link to join that is available down in the show notes of today's episode as well. Joey, any last thoughts on collecting? Any summarizing statements on your experiences as a Star Wars collector?
The it's a blessing and a curse that I am a collector. It's great to have these types of discussions for sure. Obviously, it can get a little bit pricey, but you know, if you live within your means and you have a couple of splurges here and there of things you want to buy, like you said, when you went to Galaxy's Edge, I mean, you had to get the lightsaber. How are you going to not, right? I think at the same time, shop responsibly, try to get those deals if you can. And, you know, some of the more fun things that, you know, that I do as far as collecting is I try to get it at those kind of those, manufacturing, prices. So I'll go to Target. I'll go to those places where, so one thing that I just saw that came out recently was the Acolyte series. They have their figures out, and some of them look pretty cool. Yeah. Some of them look pretty cool. So I may pick up a couple because those might just scrap all of those pretty soon. So you never know. Maybe those go up in value. It was definitely a fun episode. I'm excited for more live episodes that we'll have in the future. And thanks for talking collecting with me today. It was so much fun.
Absolutely, yeah. I know it's a big passion of yours, and I'm sure this felt like a really special episode in many regards in that way, too. So once again, those of you out there listening and watching, let us know what your favorite Star Wars items are to collect. I want to say a special thank you. Even though he wasn't with us today, a shout-out to producer Gibbo, who hopefully will be joining us next week for the next episode of the pod, who is the collector of all of our hearts.
We miss you, Gibbo.
Miss you, Gibbo. I don't know if we're under an hour. I don't think we were, but better luck next time, Gibbo. Yeah. We'll
it is worth saying that for the first time it was me that was over talking and not you.
That's fair. You know, it's funny. I told Mariah earlier, I was like, I think we'll be able to do tonight's episode in under an hour.
that's our running joke. One day we'll get it done.
Yep. And until that day, tune in next time to see if we'll actually make it under that 60-minute mark. We'll catch you all in episode 103, the live stream of the next episode of the Hoth Hangout podcast. And until then, we appreciate you listening to this one on Star Wars collectibles and memorabilia. Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate each and every single one of you, and may the Force be with you.